Today we're going to continue what we started last week, healing the brokenhearted. Healing the brokenhearted. And I thank Graham Kendrick for the song that he wrote in 2001, The Spirit of the Living God is Upon Me. He's anointed me to preach the good news. And I said, surprise, surprise, this song was first recorded here in this church. You won't believe that. And that is absolutely true. So God has been here all this while doing great and awesome things. That album is called What Grace. And those songs were recorded here in this building, surprisingly. So God has been here, and this is a good place. And this Bible passage was not original to Graham Kendrick. Isaiah, the prophet of God, spoke about it 700 years before Jesus Christ was born. So if you are thinking about it, it's nearly 3,000 years ago that these words were spoken. And Jesus Christ, in his ministry, he spoke about it. And we are going to look at Luke chapter 4. If they project it, we'll read it for you. Okay, let me go quickly with verse 18. And you're supposed to bring your Bibles, right? So whether we have projection or not, we have to go the old-fashioned way. Take your Bibles, look at Luke chapter 4. We read at verse 18 to 19. If you're struggling, just fix the problem and we'll just keep on reading. It says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and to recovery of sight for the blind and set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Amen. Now, when Jesus Christ spoke about this, he had one thing in mind, that the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon him. And over the weekend, as I was meditating upon the Word of God, I believe I had a revelation about this. He said, the Spirit of the Living God is upon me. That means the Holy Spirit clothed him. Are you with me? He put on the Holy Spirit. So when we say something is upon you, like you go to your shower, something is all over you, isn't it? So the Spirit of the Living God is upon him for a reason. And the reason is to preach the good news to the poor. To set people who are captives free and the prisoners free from prison. To set them free. To the recovery of sight for the blind and to set the oppressed free. To proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. And this is how I understood it. Whenever Jesus Christ puts on the Holy Spirit or his Holy Spirit clothed, or any believer is Holy Spirit clothed, is just like what Jesus Christ said in Luke chapter 11. He said that if I, by the finger of God, I cast out demons, salvation has come upon you. The finger of God means that God clothing you with the Holy Spirit with power. That means it's time for warfare. It's time to set people free. So when Isaiah the prophet was talking about this, he was literally proclaiming that a time is going to come that the people of God should begin to open their eyes to the supernatural and to see the warfare that they had to deal with. Because when we talk about the oppressed, oppressed meaning demon oppressed, persons without bodies oppressing you, making your life miserable, right? And I said, a Christian, if you are born again, filled with the Holy Spirit, you cannot be demon possessed. Demon cannot possess you, because when they possess you, they take over your spirit, your soul, and your body, and they mess you about. You have no control of your faculties. And sometimes people who get to the point of mental illness, not all of them, but sometimes when you get to that point, you lose your faculties. That means you're oppressed. When you are so depressed that you can't do anything with yourself and you start self-harming, you are getting oppressed. So I just want you to know that Jesus Christ was talking about something very deep than we think. It's not those nice words that the Spirit of the Lord has anointed me and that is it. God has clothed him with the Holy Spirit so that he can set the captives free. And those who are in prison, people are in prison with addictions, people are in prison with all sort of things that holds them back from God. Sometimes certain things just hold you back from connecting with Jesus Christ. That is oppression. And this oppression is not human beings. They are persons without bodies. The Bible talks about in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, that we fight not against people with flesh and blood, people that we can see, but we fight against persons without bodies, spirit of wickedness that controls the dark world. So if you are finding it difficult to connect with God, if you are finding it difficult to embrace Jesus Christ, then there's oppression over your life. Are you with me so far? And this oppression, Jesus' ministry, his calling, and his assignment, apart from going to the cross to defeat the enemy, is for him to set us free. And he told his disciples to continue to do the same. And as I was meditating, and I told you last week, please, if possible, make every effort to go and listen to last week's preach on this. Because what I'm going to say is going to actually continue what we did. I've been preaching for a little while without setting up my clock. Sorry. I did tell you last week that my understanding of this particular verse or verses has been influenced by the teaching of Apostle Mike McConnell from Australia, from Assemblies of God. And his teaching on inner healing and deliverance focuses on the heart of man. In fact, we're talking about our souls. Because the soul of man is made up of your mind, your emotions, and your will. This soul of ours goes through so much brokenness in our lifetime that it gets damaged, bruised, and wounded. And these bruises go deep. And we walk about as broken people. People who are hurting. Even the young man who is so excited and thinks, oh, I've got so much money and I'm rejoicing. When everybody leaves him, he is lonely. Because there's some bruising. Because there's some brokenness in their lives. We therefore must face the truth about our hearts, which are our broken souls. And this is caused by spirits of wickedness. That is why Jesus Christ needs to be clothed, needs to be anointed. So he said, if I'm anointed, that means it's all over him. He needs to be anointed by the Spirit of God to be strong, to be powerful whilst here on this earth as a human being so that he can deal with these things, so that he can enter the spiritual realm and rescue people. Because this is not something that doctors can help you out. And I know for sure that when you are depressed, they give you tablets. Thank God for them. But these tablets don't heal you. It slows you down so that you don't think about your depression. And you don't worry, as it were, because you become like a zombie. That's how you go. Yes? When you are sedated strongly by antidepressants, that's how you walk. And you look at things like that. You're a zombie. It's just slowing your brain down and your system down. It doesn't cure you because the solution is not medical or psychological. The solution is spiritual. And that is what we have to begin to think about. Seriously? So, now, when your soul is attacked by these spirits of wickedness, as we've mentioned in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, what happens is that they release fear into your life. And for 300, if you type the word fear in the Bible, at least 300 times it talks about fear, 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 fear. And we know that the Bible says, do not fear. Is that right? Why is God saying, do not fear? Because fear torments, according to 1 John 4:18. Fear brings torment, and torments come from the spirit of fear. Persons without bodies, they torment your soul. When you are afraid, you become timid. In the Old Testament, 63 times, God said, do not be afraid, for I'm with you. Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. Why is God saying, do not be afraid? And I saw that in Deuteronomy, it's the book that has most record of do not be afraid, because that was the time that the people of Israel need to break into their destiny. They had to break into what the promises that God has given to them. And God says that I want you to break into the promises I have for you, because I have a plan for you, plans for good and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. Are you with me? God has good plans for you. And the plan that he gave them was that to walk in a land flowing with milk and honey. And for them to go, God said, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. So I'm just saying that fear is what keeps us backwards. And that can come as a result of brokenness. Things that happen in the supernatural. 18 times the New Testament, especially 14 of them, comes from the gospel. It says, do not be afraid. And most of them were said by Jesus Christ himself. So that means it is very, very important that we take this thing seriously. Because fear is a spirit. And you soon know as we press on. So I pray that today we'll face the truth of the condition of our hearts and not cover or conceal or hide anything about ourselves, for fear will hold us back from getting into our destiny. I'm saying our hearts are broken. You may think, oh yeah, it is only you. In fact, everybody. And I'll prove it as I go along. A broken soul is when the heart has gone through painful experiences of life and has become fragmented, shattered, and turn into a rut. The question is, have you gone through painful experiences in your life? Have you been discouraged? Have you lost a loved one? Has somebody walked out of your life? Have you gone for an interview that you think you should get a job and you didn't? Has there been time that people are being laid redundant and some people were kept and you was not? Have you had painful experiences in your marriage, in your home, with your kids? Have you had any? If you've had any, then I just want you to know that these things fragment your heart. That is what we mean by brokenness of the heart. But God is here and Jesus is here because God has anointed us, or anointed Jesus Christ. And he has certainly anointed me to proclaim the good news to the poor. Because the devil's strategy is to make you impoverished. Impoverished means make you poor. Prevent you from having what you need to have. The joy that needs to come to you is not there. The happiness that you need to have is not there. The success that you need is not forthcoming. All those things that you've been praying for, the spirit of delay has held it back. And friends around you who probably are not Christians seem to be getting on. It brings brokenness into your heart. Your heart fragments. And sometimes it turns into a rut, become so hard that it's been as if it's been walked over. Because whatever you let into your heart is going to determine how your life goes. If you allow brokenness to overwhelm you, it will define you and determine your identity. If you want to change your reality, you want to change your home, your marriage, whatever is going on in your life that you don't like, you must be ready to change your heart. Your soul needs to be changed by God. That is why Jesus Christ said, I have come to heal the brokenhearted. That's in Isaiah chapter 61, verse 2. I've come to heal the brokenhearted. Why has he come to heal the brokenhearted? Because he knows that our hearts are broken. He knows that we've gone through painful experiences. So his assignment is to hold us together so that one day we will actually stand. Because if God wants you to get to heaven with brokenhearted, Revelation chapter 21 verse 5 will not say, look, I will heal you of all your sickness. There will be no more pain. There will be no more sickness. There will be no more dying. There will be no more crying. And we go through pain. We die inside. We cry all the time because of painful experiences. So, the Spirit of the living God is upon me so that he's anointed me to preach the good news so that you can have your healing right now. Because this is the year of the Lord's favor. This is the time of God's favor. This is the time that God wants to smile at you and God is saying, my son, my daughter, this is the time for you to get out of where you are. This is the year to proclaim the Lord's favor. That's Luke chapter 4, verse 19 being projected up there. So, your heart is where the devil always wants to get in. That is your soul. And if you open your soul, meaning your mind, your will, and your emotion, if you open it to the enemy, he will get in. And he will hold on to your destiny and your future. And fear is the tool he uses most of the time. Fear. But God says, do not fear. Do not be afraid. Fear not. And anytime that you are afraid of something, I just want you to know that fear is not a natural thing. Of course, God has given us some natural instinct to be afraid of the sin that we will get into. You are afraid of things that will harm you. Like if you are going in the middle of a street and you know it's a busy street, you've got to have an element of fear. If you don't, then the devil has got you. Are you with me? You got to have an element of fear. But when that fear overwhelms you and controls you to the extent that you can't do anything and you scream and you run when the car is far away and you are here and you are running, then there's something wrong with you. To heal our hearts means to restore the soul of the pain, the anger, the hurt, the offense, the bitterness, the humiliation, the wounds, the abandonment, ridicule, failure, unfaithfulness, manipulation and control, the effects of divorce, trauma, loss of job and business failures. All these stuff get in there. And God wants to heal you and God wants to restore you. The message is he heals the brokenhearted. Jesus Christ heals the brokenhearted because he wants to rebuild you as the ancient ruins, to restore the place long devastated. That means some of these things are deep and long. Some of you have gone through these pains for a long, long time, and Jesus Christ wants to restore this. These devastations and this devastation that has come through the generations, that is what Isaiah chapter 61 verse 4 says. Read it for yourself. So they will rebuild the ancient ruins and restore the places long devastated. They will renew the ruined cities. And that means your lives and your homes that have been devastated for generations. So some of these things are generational thing. That is ruining you. Everyone comes from a broken home or broken family. You may think, oh, yeah, I come from the most wonderful family. Even the Queen's family are broken. You know that? Many people are broken because they are in some wonderful places you don't see. Sometimes I think about some of our politicians and I'm thinking, I look at them and it's obvious to me that these are broken people. They may come from wealthy homes. It doesn't make a difference. Something is wrong there. That's why they can't tell the truth. Hello? I'm telling you the truth. It's true. Most politicians, not only in this country, everywhere, some places they don't tell the truth at all. But over here, I listen to some of the politicians, I'm thinking, really, they know the truth. They're intelligent, amazing guys. Most of them, especially those in the government right now, are Cambridge graduates. So they are not stupid. And sometimes they tell us things, I'm thinking, that's interesting. Never mind the ones who are just far left and tell us things that is not real. People keep up appearances, but brokenness distorts our identity and allow demonic spirits, persons without bodies to take over. It attacks your identity so that you don't know who you are and what assignment God wants you to have. Fear becomes a substitute identity for you. Let me give you an example of one man called Elijah. I heard Irene talking about it. I'm thinking, yeah, God is talking. God is with her. She says she's anointed. Exactly, she is. And I'm sure if you allow God, God will anoint you too. Now, when we read 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 1 to 4, it said, now Ahab told Jezebel everything Elijah had done and how he had killed all the prophets with the sword. So Jezebel sent a message to Elijah to say, may the gods deal with me, be it ever so severely, if by this time tomorrow I do not make your life like that of one of the prophets. Elijah was afraid and ran for his life. When he came to Beersheba in Judah, he left his servant there. While he himself went a day's journey into the desert, he came to a broom tree or a juniper tree, sat down under it, and prayed that he might die. These were his prayer. I have had enough, Lord, he said. Take my life. I'm no longer better than my ancestors. This was the man who actually had so much passion for God, because at that time there was so much sin in Israel that the people of God, they were this way, and that one day they are in church, another day they are not in church. One day they are praising the name of God, and the other day they are praising the name of their instrument, their gadgets, their iPads, whatever it is in their generation. They worship the idols, and then they worship God at the same time. They were neither here nor there, so the power of God was not in them. And this generation of ours is like that. So if something is keeping you away from God, then know that it is not how the Spirit of God works. Something is keeping you away from your destiny, your identity, your provision, and your power that you need to receive from God. Now, this is the man that who prayed and who poured water on a sacrifice on wood, soaked the wood in water, and then called fire from heaven, and fire came to consume the sacrifice. What a miracle. And as a result, the other prophet who took the challenge and couldn't do the same thing, he had so much zeal, that is Elijah, he killed them all. About 700 of them. And these prophets, they bowed down to Baal. They had a very powerful god called Baal, which Ahab brought into the land. That was a god that the wife of Ahab, who is called Jezebel, her father, worshipped. They brought it into Israel. And these men were killed by Elijah. And when Jezebel heard it, Jezebel said, she took a vow, said, be it unto me, right? May the gods deal with me, be it ever so severely, if by this time tomorrow I do not make you like one of them. Bringing the next verse, and Elijah was afraid. The man of God was afraid. The prophet of God was afraid. So I just want you to know that certain things that you think don't exist, exist. Even the man of God was afraid of Jezebel, who is the prophetess of Baal, and who said, I am going to take a vow that if by tomorrow you are alive, may the God eat me alive. The man of God was afraid. Somebody who command fire to come from the heavens. So you got to be afraid of something. But God says, do not fear. So Elijah's commission and Elijah's anointing and Elijah's mandate, at that point, he allowed fear to get in the way. And Elijah became so broken. So here was Elijah praying and said, God, you know what? I've had enough. I have enough of South Street. God, kill me now. That is what he was saying effectively. He said, I don't want to be the pastor no more. I don't want to be the leader no more. I don't want to serve God no more. That time I was reading something on the internet, and I mean, there's this guy who used to write songs in Hillsong, and now he said that he thinks he's losing his faith, and he's finished with God. But if you want to not to follow him again, that is all right. You see, the spirit of Jezebel has touched him. It's the spirit of witchcraft. It's the spirit of idolatry. It's the spirit of immorality. He's a consumed such a person. And this spirit consumes a lot of Christians. And when it consumes you, you make other things your idols. That's what Jezebel does. And fear leads you into witchcraft. Because witchcraft literally, what it do is to bring fear in your life that you cannot do anything. You become paralyzed. Some people think it doesn't exist. For what I know, what I've seen, and what some of you have seen in this church, you cannot sit down and say, there's no other side of the equation. Are you with me? There's other side of the equation. But a lot of churches, they become so nice churches because God, by his grace, has grown them into big churches, so they're happy to preach the nice, nice messages. And at the end of the day, people actually go and live in the same sin that they're living in as long as they bring their tithes and offerings. They go and do the same bad things that they do. They still go and get into immorality, fornication, adultery, and all sort of things, and corruption and lies and everything. They do the same thing. And Sunday, they are just so polished up, come to worship God. The good ones will not do none of these things, but there's no prayer. There's no reading of the Bible. There's no connectedness with God. Their soul dies. Are you with me? Your soul dies. And when your soul dies, your spirit dies with you. So you are literally a human being walking, and walking, as the Bible puts it, you become carnal. That means everything now, your spirit of grief also take over you, and everything for you is a reasoning thing. That is the spirit of grief. Are you with me? It just holds you so much that you can't do anything. And such people are broken. And God says, I came to heal the brokenhearted. Now, most of the time, our behavior stems from this. It stems from brokenness of heart, which is messing up our souls. What brokenness does is that the spirit behind brokenness creates fear. And as I've mentioned to you, its name is Jezebel. When you look at 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, it says, for God has not given us the spirit of fear or timidity, same word, but a spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline or sound mind. That means God wants our soul to be sound. God wants us to move in power. Do you think the Bible is just saying things like that? That you can just quote it and go away and you are powerless? He has given us the spirit of power. Are you with me? You must get a spirit of power. You should get a spirit of power. The way to do it is to set yourself aside and say, I want to pray at least 1 hour every day. And I want to fast at least one day every week. Seek God's face. Be thirsty for the way that you are thirsty for your job and you don't want to lose it, and you go every day and you want to do the best job to get the best promotion, to get the best money, get best bonuses. Have the same urgency for your God. Because one day, the Bible says, appointed for man to die, but after death, judgment. God's word is true, and God is not going to hold his word because your name is XYZ. Those out there, they don't know this. But you are here and you must know this because God wants you to know, because you are destined for somewhere good. You are destined to be a victorious person. You are destined to be an overcomer. You see, I'm so glad that I'm a Christian, and you should be glad that you are a Christian, because a lot of people, when they encounter problems, it just knocks them out. The spirit of Jezebel comes in and weakens them, makes them hopeless. When it weakens you, you can't do anything. It messes up your soul. and brokenness sets in and fear comes in. And as a bonus, she releases witchcraft over your life. And you go through the same cycle of problem over and over and over and over again for a long time, and you are not getting out. That's what the spirit of witchcraft does. It holds you ransom. You see, all these things I'm talking about is in the Bible, you know. So if you go to a church and you haven't heard it, because they haven't preached it, because they don't even know how to preach it. What is working for them, they will stick with it. Because if something is not broken, why mend it, as the saying goes? But I just believe that I've been anointed to preach the good news to the poor, to set the captives free, to heal the brokenhearted. And I believe that God has not given us the spirit of fear or a spirit of timidity. So effectively, God is saying that fear is a spirit. Are you with me? And it will make you timid if you give it a chance. Now, the spirit behind brokenness shuts out the supernatural. If you are broken, you don't respond to the supernatural. Unless somebody comes and minister to you. And I thank God that in this church, a good number of you have had an opportunity to go through inner healing and deliverance. And those whom we believe that you needed more personal deliverance, we're working on that. And don't think this church is a deliverance ministry. Deliverance is the children's bread. Do you understand that? Because some churches, all that they do is deliverance ministry. They pick anybody from the road and they're going to deliver, and there's so many unnecessary things happening. But Jesus Christ himself came to do that. In case you don't know, look at Luke chapter 10, and it will tell that Jesus Christ came to preach the good news to the poor. He came to make disciples. He came to heal the sick, and he came to cast out demons. If demons are good things, Jesus Christ will not cast them out, is it? And Jesus kept casting them out, and you know where he cast out most demons? In the church, the synagogue. So that means the problem is more in the church than it's out there. Do you understand that? So I want you to understand, I'm not saying that your whole faculty has been overtaken by demons, but I can assure you that your soul is overtaken by that sometimes. If you're a compulsive liar, you are being oppressed by something that you cannot control. And many more. If you easily become discouraged and give up, that's the problem. So brokenness shut down the power of true worship and give you a substitute, which is entertainment and religious language, so you don't encounter God. A lot of people like entertainment in church. I mean, they have amazing worship band. That is great. And I've been to a few churches in London where people, or probably even outside, I mean, even also outside London and other countries, when it's praise and worship time, people are energized. They dance. They do everything. As soon as they finish, they're so tired that they will go to sleep. This is true. My own eyes. Thank you. The person was sitting quite close to me, not you. I see people sleeping because nothing goes in. They are happy with the entertainment. It's just joyous time. They sing and they dance, and some of them, the way they dance, if Jesus was there, I wonder what he would say. Maybe he would say nothing. But that is not the point. I'm just saying that the spirit and the spirit of brokenness or brokenness shuts out, and I mean, true worship. And people hide true worship with entertainment. And they hide true worship with religious language. Praise the Lord, brother. And they speak languages that you can understand. You see, the spirit of brokenness wants to upheave the kingdom order. In other words, it wants to destroy godly relationship in marriages and families in order to establish the spirit of lawlessness in every relationship. I'm ever so grateful that I'm in this country. I'm ever so grateful that I'm a citizen of this country. I'm ever so grateful that everything that the country has given me. But today I was reading a news headline by one of our ministers, Minister for Energy. He said that our country has now become more violent and lawless and disorderly than it's ever been. That's the minister of state saying that. And that is his observation. And he's not even a home secretary. And he can say that for many countries too. And this is exactly what happens because there are broken homes where children are allowed to do whatever they like. And what sometimes surprised me is how much we say we love our kids so much that we just don't even give them boundaries. And then they grow up and then they begin to say, no, I've had enough. I want to break these boundaries. And they get into rebellion. Then we're thinking, what happened? So when they were young, you were not really loving them, were you? What you think is love, you are actually destroying them. Give them boundaries. Because children want boundaries and we want boundaries. When God let down the Ten Commandments, he said, I'm giving you boundaries. And if you want people to behave in a certain way, what do? You give them boundaries, isn't it? If you want people to catch the train at 7 o'clock, you give them timetable, boundaries. If there's no timetable, you don't know when your bus is coming or your train is coming, isn't it? So somehow along the line, brokenness brings that. When people are broken, they don't want to follow any order. It's a spirit of rebellion that enters their hearts and destroys the order of life. God wants to raise you up to break your agreement with that spirit so that we and our next generations will be free from its control. The spirit of brokenness brings a sense of hopelessness and end up blaming other people, especially those around us. But the key to get our hearts right with God is to turn to him. If you're able to project 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 9 to 18, I'll read it. It says, there he went into a cave, that is Elijah, the story that I started earlier, and spent the night, and the word of the Lord came to him. What are you doing here, Elijah? See, when you are broken, you become isolated. You shut yourself sometimes in a room. You don't want to get close to anybody. You're depressed. That is not from God. And look at what Elijah said. He replied, I have been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. That is true. The Israelites have rejected your covenant. That was true. Broken down your altars. That was also true. And put your prophet to death with the sword. Yes. The same Israelites actually criticized their pastors, their leaders, their prophets, and they killed them. Yes. And yet they were supposed to be the mouthpiece of God to them. And look at what Elijah went on and said, I am the only one left, and now they are trying to kill me too. Actually, none of the Israelites wanted to kill Elijah. The only person that wanted to kill Elijah was Jezebel. We read it earlier, isn't it? So suddenly your story begins to change. The reality becomes something different for you. So when you get into that situation of emotional meltdown, reality becomes something different. Your world becomes a different world from reality. Did you get it? You begin to see things differently. Things that are not, you begin to see them. And that is a slow motion walk into mental illness. And that is the work of the enemy. It brings emotional breakdown and depression. The Lord said, go out and stand on the mountains in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by. Then a great and a powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. Look at how powerful God is. He's the same God. He says, in your brokenness, he is ready for signs and wonders and miracles to happen. He is a God of miracle. He is a God of the supernatural. He's a God to turn the situation around. God can come in like an earthquake to shatter the works of the devil. God can come like a strong wind, like a strong wind to sweep away all the paths of the enemy for you. After the earthquake came a fire. Now we're talking about Holy Spirit fire here. God wants to set up a fire in your heart. But the Lord was not even in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. When Elijah heard it, he pulled the cloak over his face and went out and stood at the mouth of the cave. Then the voice of God said to him again, "What are you doing here?" You see, when God repeats a word in the Bible in a short space of time, that means take note. This is important. So today I'm asking, what are you doing where you are? What are you doing that you are broken? What are you doing that you are not energized? What are you doing that you are not seeing the fire of God in you? What are you doing that you are not allowing the Holy Spirit to baptize you? What are you doing that there is no power in your hands? What are you doing that you are not seeing the miracles and the signs and wonders in your life? What are you doing here? That is God challenging us. So my brothers, my sisters, if you are here and you are not on fire for God, it's a cliche, a language that we use. That means if the Holy Spirit is not burning in you, if you are not actually moving and that you are actually pushing backwards all the things that are bothering you, all the things that are messing up your home, if you are only seeing them with your only eyes and your senses, nothing is going to change. You've got to begin to see the supernatural, because Elijah was only seeing what he heard, but he had to hear and see the fire of God. He had to hear the earthquake. He had to see the wind. Are you with me? He had to see something beyond himself, beyond his senses, to know that this God. He said, so secondly, God said, what are you doing here? He replied, I've been very zealous. His story is the same, right? Always, they always give an excuse. I've been very zealous for the Lord, the God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, broken down your altars, as if God didn't hear it the first time. And put your prophet to the death with me and with the sword, and I am the only one left. And now they are trying to kill me too. You see what Elijah was doing? He was in the state of making excuses. Sometimes we make excuses for everything. Oh, I'm coming in late because I have to cook for the pastor. Please don't cook for me. Are you with me? Wait till you go home, or otherwise wake up very early to cook, if that's what you're doing. I am late because my kids X, Y, Z. I have kids too. You know what? We know because we have kids, we have a crowd in our home. So we have to wake up early than we normally would do to do things. Are you following so far? Because this is a common thing, common sense thing that you do when you're going to work. You know that you have kids. This time you have to drop your child at the childminder before you go home. So you will start early. So why are you still making excuses before the Lord? The Lord said to him, go back the way you came in. So God is trying to go back to where you were. God wants you to become the prophet of Israel again. Because at that time that he was hiding, emotionally broken down, he was not being the prophet of Israel. He was running. He was in fear. He was being chased by Jezebel. He was totally, shattered. Go back the way you came from. So today I want to remind you, go back the way you came from. Think about your first love, as Revelation 3 tells us that. Go back to the day that you were hot for God, because God doesn't want you to be neither cold nor neither hot, neither lukewarm. He wants you to be hot for him. So every Christian must be hot for God. There's nothing like being a gentle Christian. Your normal nature, be a gentleman or a lady, but you got to be violent, spiritually violent for God. Do you know Jesus said this? Matthew 11:12 said, from the time of John the Baptist, that from the time that you got born again, the time that you were the repentance was preached to you and you changed your life, until this time the kingdom of God suffers violence. That means there are spirits and persons without bodies that will always come after you, come after your family, come after everything that you do, prevent you from making it somehow. And therefore, you have to be spiritually violent and take the kingdom by violence. Did you get that? You got to be violent. So, there's nothing like a very nice Christian. As I said, people are naturally quiet. That is okay. But when it comes to the spirit, you got to be violent to take your family from trouble. You've got to be violent to take your husband from trouble. You've got to be violent to take your wife from trouble. You've got to be violent to take your family from trouble. If you are not spiritually violent, the enemy has got them and mess them up with brokenness. God wants to raise up so that you can break that agreement, because if you do nothing, you are actually agreeing with the enemy that where you are is all right. Go back to where you come from and go to the desert of Damascus. When you get there, anoint Hazael, king over Aram. Also anoint Jehu, son of Nimshi, king over Israel. And anoint Elisha, son of Shaphat from Abel Meholah, to succeed you as prophet. Jehu will put to death any who escaped the sword of Hazael. And Elisha will put to death any who escaped the sword of Jehu. Yet I reserved 7,000 in Israel, all whose knee have not bowed down to Baal, and all whose mouth have not kissed him. So what God is saying, that you are not alone. When you're thinking, I am the only person going through this, God said, you're not alone. God said there are some people that he has reserved who have not bowed down their knee to the devil. They are stand-up guys. So that means there are people who are really on fire for God, who are doing what they're supposed to do, who are taking captives, I mean Satan captive, because I know that no demon can touch me no more. Because I have authority over him. Jesus Christ, the Bible said he gave them authority. Look at Luke 10, read the Bible for yourself. He gave them authority, the 72, he gave them authority over demons. And said, I have given you authority to speak in tongues and to cast out demons and heal the sick. This is the same Bible we'll read. But some churches will never mention those things because they think, oh, that is for another generation. And yet the other bit is for their generation. How? So I'm challenging you to think, because in this part of the world, we have to use our brain and think the argument through. Oh, that is for the Pentecostals. Who told you? Jesus Christ said, oh, in my name, all the Pentecostals will speak in tongues and they shall cast out devils and they shall heal the sick. As for the Anglicans and the non-denominationals, they will not do none of it. Did he say that? So, if you believe this, then you see whose voice you are hearing. I always said there are three voices that speak to us. The voice of God, the voice of demons, and the voice of our conscience. And you have to decide which one you are listening to. So, I'm not teaching you any new thing. I'll try and bring this message to a close. But I just want you to see Elijah's situation. Elijah has an assignment. But then when you allow brokenness to hold on to you, it will bring distraction to your life. Instead of attaching yourself to the Lord, this spirit will distract and destroy God's order in your life. And I thank God for social media and the power of communication, but also we've allowed the enemy to get in first. And he's using the airwaves to distort the good things that God wants us to have. And this is nothing new, because the spirit that Jezebel released, the gods that they worship, were the Asherahs. It's a communication spirit. It's a spirit that is mounted almost always on high places. It represents the satellites of our generation. It represents the telephone and the television masts and all those things that carries our communication. And the enemy knows that it's a powerful tool to influence the people of the land with anything that they want to put on it. And in our generation, we Christians should be in that place that we will actually influence those things. And a lot of Christians read their social media more than they even ever think about the Bible. A whole week and they haven't touched the Bible, but a whole week they spend at least 5 hours reading their social media and tweeting and all sort of things that they have to do. You think about where you are. In a situation like this, your spirit dies and nothing happens. We have to deal with that. We have to get out of its control. And what Jehu did, who was anointed by Elijah, he was a captain of this guy. Jezebel's daughter was then king after Ahab died. And this captain rose up one day. The Spirit of God came upon him. He was anointed. Because remember what God told Elijah, go and anoint Jehu. And when he was anointed, the Spirit of God came upon him. And he said, you know what? I am going to deal with Jezebel. I am going to deal with this Jezebel. And I want you to take this reference because I don't have much time. 2 Kings chapter 9, verse 22 to 24. 2 Kings chapter 9, verse 30 to 33. You can read from verse 22 to 33. That's absolutely fine. The story there literally means that Jehu got up and said, I am the captain of the army, but I have been anointed and I've had enough of this immorality from Jezebel, because she also stands as a spirit of immorality. I've had enough of the spirit of witchcraft from Jezebel. I've had enough of the spirit of fear from Jezebel, control and manipulation from Jezebel, idolatry from Jezebel. I've had enough. So I am going to deal with them. And when he met Joram, Joram said, have you come peacefully? He said, how can there be peace? Jehu replied, as long as all the idolatry and the witchcraft of your mother Jezebel abounds. Some translation says, as long as the idolatry and harlotry and witchcraft of your mother abounds, how can there be peace? As long as these things lies in your family, lies in your life, there will be no peace. And Jehu got up and he drew his arrow, where he bow an arrow with so much strength, and he just released it and cut Joram down when he was running away. Because if you allow him to run away, he'll go back and rally himself again. He had to do that. And he didn't finish there. Now he went and looked for Jezebel. And when he got there, he stood down, and Jezebel was in a strong, like a story building somewhere. And Jehu said, who is on my side? Who is on the Lord's side? Who is on my side? And at that time, three eunuchs, let me read that very quickly. As Jehu entered the gate, she asked, have you come in peace, Zimri? See, sometimes when somebody wants to kind of cut you down and degrade you, they give you names. Sunshine, something like that. You murder of your master. He looked up at the window and called out, who is on my side? Who? In some translations, who is on the Lord's side? Two or three eunuchs looked down at him. And then Jehu said, throw her down. So they threw her down, and some of her blood splattered the wall and the horses as they trampled her underfoot. So somehow along the line, we must be willing, determined, have the spirit of Jehu to literally throw down any brokenness, any immorality, any fear, any witchcraft, any spirit of depression, control, manipulation that is over our lives or coming through our life. It's all signs of brokenness. Unless you allow Jesus Christ to heal you, then you're not going anywhere. Finally, I just want to address the men in this house in 2 minutes. God has called you into a divine position to be the head of the household. The person you married to might be carrying brokenness, probably unknown to her and to you before you marry that person. And this is also carried into the relationship. As the marriage unfolds, you find her to be a strong person, usurping that divine position that you should be occupying, because you've neglected your role as the priest, as the leader, and as a prophet in the house. So this is a word of encouragement to our men in the house. The way you usually deal with it is to either give up and let her wear the trousers, or you try to rule her with manipulation, and you begin to fight it with argument to assert your authority, unsuspectingly, you allow a spirit to come in, you allow brokenness into her heart. And your own brokenness also comes true. What you need to do is to stand up in your role as the priest and the prophet and bring divine influence in prayer. Begin to pray and ask for repentance and repent of your sins of inactivity. Repent of your sins of not caring. And start listening to the small voice of God that Elijah heard. It is time to take control today, church, to cancel all the influence of Jezebel in your life. It is time to call upon Jesus. Today is the Lord's favor upon your life. Today, God wants to heal the brokenhearted. Today, God wants to restore captive soul. Today, God wants to make you oaks of righteousness. Instead of you ending up doing anything and following every shadow you see, God wants to restore you. Shall we stand? If you're able to.